We're in the Gospel of Luke. We're in chapter 1. We got all the way down to verse 23. And so let me read you verse 23 so you'll remember what happened. Remember Zacharias? He kind of didn't believe God, so God gave him a sign. He said, all right, you'll be mute. You'll be dumb. You won't be able to speak until the baby's born, and he's named John. Zacharias is thinking, why didn't I just keep my big mouth shut? Well, it came to pass, verse 23. As soon as the days of his ministration were accomplished, he went home. He departed to his own house. And verse 24 then says, after those days, his wife Elizabeth conceived, and she, notice this, boy, you talk about God having a sense of humor. She hid herself for 5 months. Now see, that's funny to me. Probably not to you, but you're probably sane. But that's so funny to me. She hid herself for 5 months. So nobody knows she's pregnant. Now, who do you think she's going to be talking to the whole time? Yeah, a guy who has to sit and listen because he can't say a thing. I mean, for 5 months, she was in paradise, you know? And you think, he can't talk, she won't shut up. Nobody else to talk to but Zacharias, she has got it made. Is God funny or what? Angel says, you want a sign? Well, Zacharias is kicking himself now. He loved his wife, of course. That's funny. But not to you. Just to you, if you could see what I see and think what I think, that's great. That's why I'm in Idaho. Oh, Lord. She's pregnant. And it was impossible. Physically impossible. It's a miracle. God can do it. And so we begin in verse 26. Well, let me read verse 25. We shouldn't skip that one. And she says this, thus has the Lord dealt with me in the days wherein he looked on me to take away my reproach among men. Look what God has done. She says, God has been good to me. And I bet she mentioned it a lot to Zacharias through those 5 months. And in the sixth month, the sixth month of her pregnancy. In the sixth month, the angel Gabriel, now he was the one that talked to Zacharias, remember, in the holy place there, and kind of told Zacharias the good news. Well, the angel Gabriel was sent from God, man, right out of the Holy of Holies, from the throne of God, straight down to a city of Galilee, the northern region of Israel, to a place called Nazareth. Nazareth. Say it with me. Nazareth. Now, could anything good come from there? The answer is expected to be absolutely no. And here we have a girl whose name means bitterness. The word Mary means bitter, bitterness. And he comes to the city, Gabriel does, and he, verse 27, he comes to a virgin who's engaged to a man whose name is Joseph of the house of David. And the virgin's name was Mary. Now, twice in this verse, in verse 27, Dr. Luke, who really knows his stuff, he's an excellent medical doctor, he's a very smart individual, and he uses the word twice, virgin. He uses it twice in the verse. And he means what he says. He's a doctor, he knows what he's talking about. She has never been with a man, she has never had sex with a man. She is a virgin. Mary is about 15 years old. Joseph might be near 40 at this time that we see here. Match made in heaven, huh? And the angel Gabriel shows up to this virgin. Didn't God say through Isaiah, he said to the king, the wicked king, he said, ask me for a sign. The king said, I don't want to. No, you ask me for a sign. The wicked king said, I'm not going to do it. I wouldn't dare put you to the test. God knew he was joking, and so God said, all right, I will give you a sign. A virgin shall bring forth a son, and he shall be called Emmanuel, God with us. There's a sign. Even though you wouldn't even ask for one, I am God, I'm giving you a sign. A virgin. And here she is, Mary at about 15 years old. Now, what kind of girl was she? I've read on in the chapter. This was a good girl. This wasn't one that was lying about her age trying to get into the bar rooms at 15 years old. She was a good kid. She wanted to do God's will. Now, think about it, you people, all of us, young and old alike. She really wanted to do God's will. I want to just obey God. I want to walk with Him. I want to follow. Was she a sinner? Oh, yeah. She'll admit that in a little while, too. But she wanted to. She had a heart to do something for God's kingdom, for His glory. You know, God, the Bible says, His eyes search to and fro all over the earth, looking for an individual that He can show Himself strong through. Looking for someone who says, hey, I'm over here. I'm about as useless as they come, but you can use me. Take this. Use me. And God says, there's one. I'll take it. And here's Mary at about 15 years old. But you know, there's something even more important in the verse. Not more important, but something that, because of the virgin issue, usually is overlooked. I shouldn't say more important, but it's overlooked. And let's read it again. Angel Gabriel comes into a city of Galilee named Nazareth to a virgin engaged to a man whose name was Joseph. And here, listen closely, of the house of David. Oh, man. Now, think about it. Here's a Bible question for you. What should this man named Joseph, since he is of the house of David, what should he be doing? Right. Not carpentry work. Carpentry was a very low form of livelihood in those days. What should he be doing? The house of David is the royal lineage. He should at least be a prince in the house of David, and he's a carpenter in the place called Nazareth. How did he get so low? What happened, Joseph? You remember, God's people turned their back on him. He said, if you do it, I will allow the enemy to come in and overpower you. And so who's in charge? Rome. Who's the king? Some dude who paid his way in. Not somebody from the lineage of David. See, the house of David is a royal priesthood forever and ever. Joseph is of the house of David. So you'll find later on is Mary. She's a poor girl living in a low-life city. And he's just a poor carpenter who should be a prince in Israel. So Gabriel shows up to this girl's house. Now he comes into her room, shocking as it is. She's by herself. And the angel came in unto her and said, hail, which is a greeting, or greetings, or hello. Or in Texas, howdy. Well, you know, in other words, it was a common greeting. Not anything out of the ordinary. You that are highly favored, the Lord is with you. Blessed art thou, not above women, blessed art thou among women. Oh, how happy are you among all these women. Now, there's a church, or some churches, that teach that Mary is above all and has never sinned. And they have her lifted so high, they even pray to her. Now, our problem becomes, we know that's not right. And so we take, the pendulum swings too far the other way. And we start to say, she's dirt, she's nothing. Wait a minute, man. She was highly favored. There is a balance there. And this woman is a woman at 15 years old who just wants to do something with her life for the Lord. She's wanting to do the things that God would have her to do. And the angel shows up and says, hello, Mary. You are highly favored. Blessed are you among the women of Israel. Now, when she saw him, verse 29, she was troubled. Well, you're in your room by yourself. Maybe she's doing homework. I don't know what she's doing. Maybe she's praying. She's there all alone. An angel shows up in the room. Would you be troubled? After you picked yourself up. It was shocking. She was troubled to say, and she cast in her mind what manner of salutation this could be. Mary knows Mary. She's lived with Mary for all 15 years now. And when the angel says, you're highly favored, oh, how happy are you among all women, she would probably look at him and not say out loud, but she's thinking to herself, what is he talking? What does he mean? What is he talking about? Me, I'm happy above all women. I'm 15 years old. What are you talking about? It was a shock. Now, before she fainted, the angel said, don't be afraid, Mary. Angels have to say that. Or you and I couldn't take it. We just fall over. Don't be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. In the Greek, charis. In our language, grace. You hear that? You have found grace with God. Why would someone who is perfect need grace? They wouldn't. Because, see, Mary wasn't perfect. Mary was just like me and you, born a sinner. But you have found grace with God. That tells me God looked at this little girl. And if you're 15, nothing personal, but you're still little. God looked at this little girl and said, she has a heart to do the will of mine. I'll choose her. Why? Grace. Unmerited favor. She didn't earn it. She didn't deserve it. She just had a heart. Take a look at little David at around 15. He was anointed king. He didn't earn it. He didn't deserve it. He just had a heart. And God said, Samuel, don't look at the tall guys. This is the one I want. God looks not on the outside. He looks on the heart. I want David. That little guy? Yep. I want Mary. Mary? She lives in Nazareth. You think about it, God. I can see Gabriel now. You sure? You want me to go to Nazareth? It wasn't bad going down there to Jerusalem. That's your city. But Nazareth? You want me to go there? I'm Gabriel, okay? No, Gabriel, you go. There's a heart that is willing to be used. So here's a 15-year-old girl who God is going to use. And we're glad he did. Now we read this. Behold, verse 31, you shall conceive in your womb. You shall bring forth a son, and you shall call his name Jesus. In the Old Testament, Joshua, or Yeshua, meaning God is salvation, or God is the one who saves. Jesus. He shall be great and shall be called the Son of the Highest. And the Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father David, and he shall reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there shall be no end. Five things. Here's promises that Mary's going to remember. Five promises. He will be great. He will be the Son of the Most High. He will be given the throne of his father David. He will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and he of his kingdom there will be no end. His kingdom is never going to end. And Mary said unto the angel, how shall this be, seeing I know not a man? Claiming to be a virgin. I have never been with a man. How is it that this will be? Do you see the two hearts? Go back to Zacharias. Zacharias says, couldn't be. It isn't possible. I'm too old. Give me a sign. We see a different heart with Mary. Mary says, how can it be? I'm innocent. I've never been with a man. How can it be? See the difference in hearts? I know God can do it, but I am innocent. I haven't done anything to get pregnant. How can it be? There's a heart, see? Sometimes we've got the heart like Mary. Sometimes we have a heart like Zachariah. It can't be. I'm too old. I'm too stupid. All right, show me. Mary says, well, I've never been with a man. So how will God do it? Basic question is, how's he going to do it? Not questioning at all that he can do it. Just say, how's he going to? Because I am innocent here. And the angel in verse 35 answers and says to her, the Holy Spirit, the Holy Ghost, shall come upon you, and the power of the Highest shall overshadow you. Therefore also the Holy One which shall be born of you shall be called the Son of God. How will God do this? I've never been with a man. God, with his power, will accomplish it, the angel says. It'll be purely God's power. And behold, your cousin Elizabeth, she is also pregnant. She has conceived a son in her old age. And this is her sixth month, or the sixth month with her, who is called barren. Now, who knows that Elizabeth is pregnant? Well, Zacharias doesn't say much. He knows. Elizabeth knows, but didn't the Bible say she kept it private? She hid herself for 5 months? Not a lot of people know. Now the angel says, Mary says, How's God going to do this? I've never been with a man. The angel says, by his power and his power alone. And Mary, let me show you his power. Your cousin Elizabeth, she's too old to have kids, right? Well, right. She's pregnant. 6 months along. That's to show you. Now, Mary didn't ask for a sign. That says, let me show you. Your cousin Elizabeth is pregnant. She's in her 6 month. She was called barren. And she's in her old age. And look what God has done. And then he says, verse 37. For with God, nothing shall be impossible. Did you hear that? For with God, nothing shall be impossible. We think sometimes, I wish I'd have been here when Jesus walked on the earth, when he was here, just walking with his disciples. I wish I could have been there just to hear how he said it, just to watch him work with the people, just to listen to him and kind of hang out and try and learn. And then whenever I got a headache or wasn't feeling good, I would look at him and say, Lord, I don't feel very good. And he would just reach right out and touch me and heal me right there on the spot, because he always healed the people that came to him. And then you read this verse in the Bible that says, for with nothing, or with God, nothing shall be impossible. Now, that means you can walk with him right now. Well, where two or three are gathered together, he's in the midst, so he's right here. And if Jesus would heal then, why wouldn't he heal today? You think he's bored with it? He can do that. Why can't he? Now, if Jesus had compassion on the people then who really had troubles and difficult lives, if he had compassion on them then, why would you think he doesn't have compassion on them today? He does. So why not cry out to him while he's here? Say, Lord, I don't feel very good. Lord, I don't understand what's happening to me. Lord, this situation in my life is falling apart around me, and I don't honestly know how to handle it. See, with God, nothing shall be impossible. And I'm learning that I need to ask him. I need to check with him. I need to say, well, what do you say here? I don't feel good about this. I don't feel good sometimes at all. You know, you get going hard in some directions, and basically your body just wants to stop. And a lot of people come against you, and you just get tired. Sometimes you get tired of fighting. I never thought I'd get tired of fighting, but every once in a great while. It happens about once every 13, 14 years. Just for like a half a day, I go, I'm tired now. And I said, Lord, I'm tired. I want to sit down. And then that's when you take a look at my life and you see the footprints in the sand. Now, I've seen that poem, but mine are different. I look back and there's my 2 feet and there's drag marks. I'm tired now. We're not stopping, man. Come on, I'm taking you with me. I promise I'll get you there. I'm getting water on my nose. Come on. He's good. He can do anything. Do you believe that? It's true. Don't you give up in what you're in. Corrie ten Boom in the prison camp, and I quote it all the time, and I try to remind myself of this. Her sister, laying there dying, said, Corrie, no pit is so deep that he is not deeper still. No pit is so deep. This could be okay. Mary says this in verse 38. Behold the handmaid of the Lord, be it unto me according to thy word. Is that faith? I am yours. Lord, I'm in your hands. You do with me whatever you want. Whatever you say, you just do that in my life. Now, you and I realize that at 15 years old, she does not understand what's going to come her way. She has no clue of what is coming. She doesn't know the humiliation she is in for. When everybody finds out she's pregnant with no husband. Joseph, I don't know how she told him, but oh my goodness, I'm glad I didn't have to do it. Privately, I'm sure it was, and she said, Joseph, you better sit down. Now, Joseph is a man, probably near 40. Mary is 15 years old. She knows nothing about nothing. Joseph, I got some good news, and I got some bad news. And they're both the same. We're going to have a baby. We? But Joseph, don't worry, it's of God. I haven't been fooling around. Now, Joseph, sit down. You think Joseph believed that for 1 minute? Bible says he didn't. Would you? She's 15, she tells you she's pregnant, but honest, she hasn't done anything. What did Joseph do? Mary didn't count on this. He tried to find a way to divorce her because he couldn't marry a girl who was pregnant. It would be against the law. It would be wrong. He would be looked down upon and talked about. So he tried to find a way to do it secretly because he didn't want to do it. If he did it publicly, she could be stoned to death because that was not done in those days. So he was looking for a way to privately do this, secretly put her away, because he didn't want to hurt this girl, but he knew he couldn't marry her. And Mary says, I'm your handmaid. I'm in your hands. My life is in your hands. Whatever you do to me, you go for it. I'm yours. Never dreaming that a cloud was going to come upon her life at that moment and never go away. Never. Until she left this earth. She was ridiculed. She was laughed at. She was talked about. She was made fun of. Jesus was ridiculed as he grew up because everybody knew Joseph wasn't his real dad. Everybody knew this was a setup. Nobody understood. Mary did not understand what was coming. But I like a heart in this girl who says, I'm yours. You just do with me anything you want. Isaiah, in the temple, saw the Lord high and lifted up, and his train filled the temple. And the angels cried, holy, holy, holy. And Isaiah, he was cleansed that day, remember? From the altar of the blood sacrifice, representing the blood of Jesus Christ upon his life. And he was cleansed. And God said, we got to send somebody. Who can we send? God's talking to the Son and talking to the Holy Spirit. They're discussing it among themselves. Who can we send? And Isaiah goes, I'm right here, and I'm clean now. Send me. Isaiah had no idea what was coming in his life because of that. That he would be ridiculed and finally cut in half. Stripped naked, turned upside down, spread his legs apart, took a saw and cut him in half. He had no idea. All he said was, I got a heart, man. I'll do it. I'll do it. David, at about 15, he was anointed king. He said, yeah, I'll do it. I want to serve God. I got a heart to serve God. He had no idea what dangers and trouble, what cloud had overshadowed him for the rest of his life. Just said, I want to serve God. Didn't know he'd be hiding for a little over 10 years, running for his life, for nothing. Except that he was God's chosen. Abraham didn't really realize that he would leave home at 75, and it's about time, Abraham. Leave home at 75, and the rest of his life never have a home. Travel until he died. Looking for a city that he was promised, that city was made without hands. And the same happened to you, didn't it? And you came to the Lord. You had no idea, and you still don't. You don't know what's coming. You have no idea what's coming around the corner. Somebody accuses us of having that que sera, sera attitude. I guess I do. Because I think I have decided to follow Jesus. No turning back. So whatever happens, happens. Is that a lousy attitude? That's Mary's. That was Jesus, not my will, yours. Just do whatever you want with me. I am the handmaid of the Lord. Whatever you say, that's fine. That's what we need. But it's expensive. How much does it cost? Well, the truth is, salvation is free, but you start to walk and you have no idea what's coming and how fast it's going to hit. And the good thing I like about being a Christian is you never worry about it. Somebody said to me, you know, your mind is so quick. I said, thank you very much. It's a curse. Because somebody says, how you doing? I got 1,000 answers ready. Which one, you know, I just... And then when I'm in trouble, someone says, oh yeah, there's a, and I have an instant answer back. They say, what would you do if you ever got Alzheimer's? I said, rest. Do you think that we've got time to sit and worry about what happens next year, next month, next week, tomorrow? Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. I got enough to do just to get through. I got meetings, I got church to do, and I got a music rehearsal. And they'll probably tear me to pieces through all that. So all I got to do is get through that and walk with Jesus in it. Doesn't mean I don't plan for tomorrow. But I certainly can't spend a lot of time and effort on it yet. It's not here. Mary says, behold, the handmaid of the Lord, verse 38. Be it unto me according to your word. And of course, then at that point, she said, whatever you say. And the angel departed. Now Mary arose. And in those days, she arose and she went to the hill country. That would be right outside Jerusalem. So she went down south from Nazareth there to the hill country and with haste into a city of Judah, close to Jerusalem there. She entered into the house of Zechariah and she said hello to Elizabeth. That's all she said. She saluted Elizabeth. That means she came in and said, Elizabeth, cousin Elizabeth, it's good to see you. That's all that was said. Well, it came to pass that when Elizabeth heard the voice of Mary, the baby leapt in her womb, and Elizabeth was filled instantly with the Holy Spirit. And so was the baby, baby John. And she spoke out with a loud voice, and she said, blessed art thou amongst women, not above women, blessed art thou amongst women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb. Now, who told Elizabeth that Mary was pregnant? Right. God. Back prior to the day of Pentecost, I know that you know this, but individuals were filled with the Holy Ghost for special tasks, for special assignments. So you'll see Isaiah, you'll see David, you'll see Samson, you'll see, as you go through, take a look. They were filled with the Holy Spirit for special assignments, special tasks. But the Holy Spirit was taken away at different times. And so when David sinned so grossly, remember he prayed in Psalm 51, I have sinned against you and you alone. Please don't throw me in the trash. Now that's my language for cast me not away from your presence. Don't put me away. Don't quit using me. Please don't do that to me. I confess my sin. Don't put me away and don't take your Holy Spirit away from me. Please. You and I don't have to pray that. He said, I'll never take my Holy Spirit from you. But you see, in those days, and this is before the day of Pentecost, individuals were filled with the Holy Spirit for special tasks. Well, here she says, you're going to have a baby. Mary probably hasn't told anybody now, but probably Joseph. And remember, Joseph wants to keep it a secret so that Mary doesn't have public ridicule and possibility of being stoned to death. Because he loves her. And she says in verse 43, Elizabeth says, whence is this to me that the mother of my Lord should come to me? She is honored with the visit of Mary, but more with the visit of the fact that this is the mother of my Lord. See how important Jesus Christ is to Elizabeth. The promise. The promise, finally, of Genesis chapter 3, verse 15. The woman's seed. Now, all of us that are medical scholars know there's no such thing, is there? It's the man's seed. But there's a miracle going to take place, and a baby will be born of a virgin. And his name shall be called Emmanuel, God with us. For lo, verse 44, as soon as the voice of thy salutation sounded in my ear, the baby leapt in my womb for joy. John was happy to see Jesus too. And blessed is she that believed. Boy, there's a spot to underline in your Bible, huh? Blessed is she that believed. For there shall be a performance of those things which were told her from the Lord. Blessed is she that believed. Didn't Jesus say, something almost identical to that. When he was talking to Thomas, remember in the upper room? When he showed up, Thomas wasn't there. And so after he was gone, Thomas showed up and they said, Thomas, we saw Jesus. And he goes, man, he's dead. No, he's alive. We saw him. And Thomas said, I won't believe it. I will not. I refuse to believe it until I can put my fingers in the nail holes and put my hand in his side. Then I'll believe it. Remember that? So Jesus showed up and said, Thomas, come over here. And oh man, you can imagine being Thomas. Oh, that's okay, Lord. No, Thomas, I don't want you to be faithless. And he says in John chapter 20, verse 29, Jesus said to him, Thomas, because you have seen me, you have believed. Oh, how happy are they that have not seen and yet believed. What does Elizabeth say to Mary? Blessed is she, oh, how happy is she that believed. For these, or there shall be a performance of those things which were told her from the Lord. Blessed, oh, how happy are all of you who have never seen and yet believe. And Mary sings almost a psalm. She speaks out. It's called the Magnificat, but it's like she is saying a psalm. She says this. Mary says, my soul does magnify the Lord. Who is she lifting up? God, not herself, not Elizabeth, not anything. She lifts up God himself. And my spirit has rejoiced in God my Savior. Mary says, he is my Savior too. I need a Savior just like everybody else. What was it that she believed? I believe she believed Isaiah 53, verse 6. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way, and the Lord hath laid on him, the Messiah, the iniquity of us all. Mary, knowing that verse, says, my spirit rejoices in God, my Savior. Mary says, I need him too. What is it? Romans 3:23. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. To include Mary, to include me, to include you. So she says, my soul magnifies the Lord. My spirit rejoices in God, my Savior. For he has regarded the low estate of his handmaiden. In other words, I'm his servant, and he has looked down upon me. And behold, from henceforth all generations shall call me blessed. And we should. What a blessing to be the one chosen to bring Messiah into the world. For he, God, that is mighty, has done great things to me, and holy is his name. Every one of you that's born again can say the same thing. He that is mighty has done great things to me. Others may not be so impressed, but you can magnify the Lord. Rejoice in the God of your salvation, for he has done great things to you. He has given you life. He has given you hope. He takes care of you. You will never walk alone. He holds you up. When you feel like you can't go on, you'll see he carries you through. For some of us, he drags a little. You'll see he's right there to hold you up and to hold you strong. He will never leave you. He would never forsake you. He will not give up on you, no matter how slow you may see yourself. He will not one day say, you are going so slow and being so lousy at it, I'm going to leave you here. When you decide to walk, let me know. He's never going to do that to you. He's going to be right there always to take you through. So he that is mighty has done great things to me. And holy is his name. And his mercy, verse 50, is on them that fear him from generation to generation. You want the mercy of God? We want the mercy of God? Then fear him. Reverence the Lord. Make him your priority in this life. He has shown strength with his arm, and he has scattered the proud in the imagination of their hearts. He has put down the mighty from their seats and exalted them of low degree. He has filled the hungry with good things, and the rich he has sent away empty. He has helped his servant Israel in remembrance of his mercy, as he spoke to our fathers, to Abraham, and to his seed forever. Mary is saying, He's going to keep his promise. He's going to boot out Rome. Jesus is going to sit on the throne of David and rule forever and ever. Mary's believing the promises that the angel gave her and the promises that God gave to Abraham and to Isaac and to Jacob. She says, it's going to be. I know it's going to be. She may not understand time frame or time reference, but she knows it's going to be. There's a heart. And the Bible says Mary abode with Elizabeth about 3 months. Returned home. Well, now we'll close. She has stayed with Elizabeth how long? About 3 months. How pregnant was Elizabeth when she showed up? About 6 months. So some scholars say she stayed there to help Elizabeth with the baby, until the baby was born. Some say, no, she took off and went home. I think the language here would lean more toward the fact that Mary did stay to help her cousin till the time of the baby, to help her through. Because those 3 months might have been difficult. Remember, Elizabeth wasn't a spring chicken. I think now she's a summer chicken. She's older. And she needed a little more help, maybe. And there was who? The mother of Jesus serving her cousin. You see Jesus, you see him serving. You see Mary, you see her serving. You see David, you see... go ahead, just you pick somebody. You notice people that love God, people that want to be with God, they are servants. And their lives were difficult lives. In this world you'll have tribulation, Jesus said, but be of good cheer, I've overcome the world. But there's something else you got to see here. Mary abode with her about 3 months and returned to where? Her own house. Where was that? Nazareth, where she lived with her parents. Remember? She went home to Nazareth. Was she worried? You know, I know Bible scholars who are worried. Went home to Nazareth. How could she do that? You know, the Bible says Jesus has to be born in Bethlehem. You can't have a baby in Nazareth and call it Bethlehem. I mean, and geography, I mean, it's not going to happen. The prophecy is not going to be fulfilled. Oh, my goodness. She went home where she lived. She didn't understand what was going to happen between her and Joseph. That was still up in the air. Remember, an angel's going to have to come and talk to Joseph now, see if he can fix all this out. She has no idea what's going to happen to her, what's going to go on. She probably even knows the prophecies that the baby's got to be born in Bethlehem, but she's got no money to get to Bethlehem. She can't get down there. She's just a 15-year-old kid. I mean, she's, you know, she is in Nazareth. Now, think about all those problems I've just given you in your own life. Think about it a second. You look around, you say, wait a minute, man. My partner's ripping me off in business. Wait, hold it. The prophecy is, wait, how is it going to? I believe that God is in control. And that if you will walk with Him with a heart set on trusting Him, He's going to work it out. He'll get the baby born in Bethlehem. I don't know how. We'll learn how later, but He'll do it. That baby's going to be born right where God says it has to, or He's not God. You say, well, I don't know, man, my marriage is falling apart, my life is falling apart, the whole world is falling apart. Do you trust God? Can you just rest singing with Mary, my soul magnifies the Lord? All I got to do is trust Him. I don't have to have all the answers. He's got them. I don't have to know what He's going to do. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, they taught me that when I was hanging out with them right before they went in the fire. Hang out with them sometime. Go back there to Daniel chapter 3 and hang out with Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Hang out with them for a while. When they say to the king, we don't know what God's going to do. We have no idea. Maybe He'll deliver us from this fire, or maybe He'll let you throw us in. We don't know what He's going to do, but whatever He does, we will not worship that image. We're just going to rest in God. So whatever happens, happens. And I learn. Slowly. All I got to do is rest in God. I don't know what's going to come, but all I have to do is rest in Him. That's my responsibility. And trust, just walk in faith. That's all what you need to do. Does He love you? Yes, He does. Does He know how you feel? Yes, He does. Does He care about how you're feeling? Yes, He does. Is He doing anything about it? Yes, He is, according to Scripture. Can you trust Him? Behold, the servant of the Lord. Let Him do whatever He wants to do with my life. Let's bow our heads together.